and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello and welcome, Ed.
Thank you, Jennifer.
It is good to have you here as always. And we're going to be talking about formal education. We're going to be talking about outcomes. You know, we're such a product and outcome-driven society, and we want, you know, we want a finished product. We want to feel comfortable. We want to show our trophy, our certificate, or whatever it is at the end of our education, of our process. We want that grade. What is going on with that?
Well, it's reflecting the reality of our society and what we value. I love the fact that you phrased your remarks with the comment formal education, because I think that we need to remind people that one's formal education will eventually end, but one's education should persist throughout the entire life. And that's the goal of formal education, is to create lifelong learners. So I love that element of it. And when you're thinking about outcomes, it really begs the basic question, well, what is formal education? What are we trying to accomplish? And then you can measure the outcome or not. And I think this is not a well-defined term in our country.
You mean formal education?
Correct, yes. So what does it mean? I'll give you a bunch of definitions that could be out there. It could be a credential, so getting a diploma so that I can go on and get a starting job and a starting salary. That's how I think a lot of people, if not most people, think of education. Another way is I want to learn a particular suite of specific skills. So I want to be able to build this kind of thing or fix that kind of thing or do this kind of thing where there's a skill involved that requires practice and dedication. And that kind of vocational look at education is another way. And then a third way is this life-changing, life-enriching experience to try to make an individual their very best selves and find their best path through life and through the world. To me, that's the liberal arts way, and I'm not putting down in any way, shape, or form the vocational definition. This is a different definition, and quite often, a lot of the things that we do require that kind of vocational work for further study. You know, I went on to graduate school and got a PhD in mathematics. I consider that kind of vocational in the way I had to work really, really hard on something specific. The first definition I'd say that I do not support, and I personally do not endorse, which is a credential. And I think
Wait a minute. You're president of a university and you are not supporting a credential. Do tell.
Well, because that's not the point. The point is not a piece of paper that you get. In fact, so many people think this, in fact, so many educators think this, that when even the language, have you ever heard this talking to an advisor or parent or student or teacher or anyone? Well, you know, you have to get through that course. If you just get through that course.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Or I gotta knock out those requirements, or I gotta get rid
knock
of that.
Out. Yeah. I love it. Knock out. I'm just writing that down.
I gotta knock out those requirements.
Get them out of the way.
Yes,
get them
out of the
way. Okay, so let's just think through that. Now, if you are going toward a credential, then that is a very efficient way of going through life, fast. I want to graduate in 3 years, right? That's a goal that many students have. But to me, that is missing the point of what a truly transformational educational experience should offer. With a education that's trying to develop oneself, it is the process itself that is the thing. It's not the credential. It's not the diploma. It's not what happens at graduation. But it is that journey through that formal education. And so when you say, I have to get through the class, you've already missed it. Because in fact, it is the journey through that class. The reason why Southwestern has a four-year program is because we believe that within that 4 years, you will practice these habits of thinking and habits of creativity and habits of living that will sustain you long after your formal education is over, that you can be your own Socrates, that you can provoke your own thought and ask your own questions, even though the professor won't be there whispering in your ear anymore. And that is the experience that we should be offering And that should be the goal of education rather than a credential.
So what we have to learn how to do is to get comfortable with a process, with something that's ongoing versus something that's, I started here, I finished here, here's my proof I finished.
Correct.
And now I'm moving on. And I think for a lot of people, that's not a comfortable place to be.
That's exactly right. But there's also the practical reality. So, I mean, so here I am pie in the sky and you looked aghast as president of Southwestern. I would dare say the diploma is not the thing. But let me bring it down to practicality. And I'm rarely practical, as you know, as a mathematician. But from a practical point of view, we are living in a world of obsolescence.
Wait, okay, say that again. World of obsolescence.
Yeah, whatever we have today, it's going to be new and improved tomorrow. And whatever knowledge base that I teach you, any fixed body of knowledge today is going to become obsolete and you're going to throw it away. Look at your phones, look at your computers, look at your, you know, smart devices. You keep them for a few years and then you have to get a new one because it just, okay. So any fixed body of knowledge that I teach you, you know, is not going to be the driving thing. So in fact, if your goal is to be successful kind of by today's normal standards of having a good job and money and so forth and have a career, which is why a lot of students go to school for the credential, let me suggest that in fact the liberal arts experience is the most practical one. Because any fixed set of knowledge as you kind of go into, if you just focus on that vocational thing from the get-go, and not after a layer of building creativity and thinking and an ability to have deep understanding. If you don't have that layer built in, then all you're going to learn are the facts, and those facts are going to change. So the moment you leave that formal education, you're going to be adrift. We shouldn't be measuring starting salaries. A lot of schools do this. Things measure starting salaries and so forth. That's not the measure. We should be measuring your final salary. How far do people get in their careers? And what you would see is that those individuals that have experienced the liberal arts and have a holistic way of looking at the world and themselves, and in a very thoughtful, deep, and creative manner, they go further. They just go further. And it's a fact that you can see for yourself. So to me, that, even if you want to be practical and say, and dogmatic and say, look, all I care about is money, then you've got to embrace this mindset that you've got to then take yourself and transform yourself into your very best self. And to do that, in my opinion, that requires a type of education that is fostered through the liberal arts. And it's not a matter of getting through it. It's a matter of engaging with it and going on that journey.
So something that I think is never obsolete, though, is the math puzzler.
Now, there's a segue. Oh, my goodness. All right.
So I think you have a new one for us this week.
I absolutely do. And it actually involves an educational institution. So it's somewhat related to this.
Okay. Let's hear it.
This is not Southwestern, though. I want to be very clear.
Okay.
In fact, this is coming from you know, one of the books I co-authored called The Heart of Mathematics. And this is a kind of a funny story. And it takes place at a school called What's the Matter with You? Which I think is stolen from Bullwinkle and Rocky, I think.
Oh, okay.
So this is not even mine. But anyway, it's a visual joke. Imagine this, the phrase, what's the matter with, and then you. Right,
uh-huh.
Exactly. Anyway, so at this wonderful school, the registrar wanted to compute the average GPA for a particular graduating class.
Okay.
And what she did was she found the average GPA of all male students, the average GPA of all female students, and then the average GPA of all the students together.
Okay.
And when she found those numbers, she compared them to the previous year.
Okay, same breakdown, male, female.
Correct.
Okay.
And the question is the following possible? Is it possible for her to look at the previous years and see that this year's male GPA average went up, this year's female GP average went up compared to the females of last year, and yet the collective total average for the entire graduating class actually went down from the previous year. So both the male average went up from the previous year, the female average went up from the previous year, and yet the collective average for the entire graduating class of all female and male students, in fact, went down from the previous year. Is that possible or is that impossible? That, Jennifer, is this week's math puzzler.
Very intriguing.
Thank you.
Very intriguing.
Thank you.
All right.
I finally intrigued you.
It's
taken a year and a half.
So I want to get back real briefly to our conversation, because to me, a bigger picture question in a lot of this discussion about a liberal arts education and sort of working for transformation for your best self is, what is your best self? How do you know? I guess it's a place you never get to that you're always striving for, but what does that mean?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And first of all, you're absolutely right that it's a constantly ever moving target. And it's something that, you know, continues to grow as you grow. It's setting, you know, greater and greater expectations for yourself. But it's a much more thought-provoking question, which is, you know, how do you know, you know, how you're getting there? Because it's hard to imagine a different you. I'm not suggesting to other educators and to my students at Southwestern University that they change and become a different person. But what I'm suggesting is that they head toward their very best self, which in my mind means taking their own abilities and allowing them to be amplified by their own thinking and their own creativity. And, you know, many people look at, you know, Picasso or Michelangelo or Shakespeare or Homer or, you know, all sorts of great creative thinkers and think, wow, these are really amazing creative artists and they just had this, you know, kind of gift. I just don't buy it. I don't believe that's true. I believe that we can actually train ourselves, just as if you wanted to become, you know, better at a particular sport. If you practice, you can get better. And that's what we mean here. It's a practicing. It's changing how you look and changing how you look at the world and changing how you behave. And you will actually then, within yourself, be able to behave differently. And that's what formal education should be, and that's what education should be.
And to understand that the goal is the striving and the process to get better.
The process is everything. It's not the grade. It's not the course. You're going to forget them. We talked about this. You're going to forget the material of the class. You're going to forget everything. But it's what do you take away from it that will stay with you? And that's going to be a way of looking at things, a way of thinking about things, a way of going deeper.
So your, whoops.
Well, you dropped your pen there. Wow. I actually got you to drop a pen. I hope people heard that.
You could hear a pen drop in here. It's such a scintillating conversation. I mean, what I'm thinking of is, you know, if you took 10 people, they're all going to have, let's just take something like painting. They're all going to have different skills and experience with painting. But if they all engage in the process to get better, they're all on that road, even though, you know, you're going to have 10 different paintings of the bowl of fruit.
Absolutely. We're not trying to create clones of any one individual or any one type or with any particular belief or with any particular agenda. But what we're trying to do is, the idea is, if you use your analogy, you take 10 artists that are starting off, students of art, and they're going to paint 10 bowls of fruit, maybe from the same image. So they're all looking at the same bowl of fruit. We're going to have 10 different paintings. And then they go through a process. Call that what you want. I'd call it a liberal arts process, where they take math and biology and chemistry and political science and sociology and anthropology and art and so forth. And then they reconvene and they paint that same fruit. I guess it wouldn't be the same fruit because the fruit would be rotted by then.
Right.
But imagine replacing the fruit and having those same 10 students. You would still get 10 different paintings, but I would argue those new paintings would actually be far improved from the first ones. And that's what we're talking about.
Always thought-provoking. Thanks, Ed, for helping us to keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. And you know, Ed, we should remind people, if you have a topic you'd like to hear us talk about, a question maybe you want us to bat around, just email it to me. You can send it to jstayton, S-T-A-Y-T-O-N, at KUT.org. And we might take that up in a future episode.
And not only that, by the way, but they should, when they check out, you always mention the southwestern.edu website. Uh-huh. There are public lectures and public performances and art things. We're talking about art. They should just come up to campus and visit, and they can say hi to me.
Keep your brain sharp there, too, and also keep up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Stayton with KUT News.